Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heathen, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Heavenly Father, I'd ask, Lord, that you'd help me tonight, Lord, as I preach on this sacred subject. Thank you, Lord, for a good weekend. Thank you for a wonderful time of fellowship yesterday and blessing with the church family. And then, Lord, to gather together this morning and, Lord, just see you work in the lives of people. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do a good work of grace in our life. We again pray for our young men and Brother Reiser that'll be at the football camp. I pray for them even now, dear God, as they're probably in their evening service, that you'd bless that. Thank you for the rejoicing, dear God, that me and my wife got to experience a couple hours ago, just going over to the church plant there in Victory, at Victory Baptist Church, and seeing the good things that are happening there. Lord, it's just been a wonderful, good, full weekend. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we turn our attention again to the Word of God, that you'd speak to us, please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I'm going to preach on this subject tonight. On this subject, education plus God equals 7. I'll give you a math formula. There you go. Education plus God equals 7. I'm going to kind of preach this for several reasons. I think from time to time, I just need to get up and explain to our church the reasons that Christian education ought to be a conviction with you. And I believe that it ought to be. I don't understand Christians that have a kind of a take it or leave it attitude towards the idea of Christian education. But I'm not going to fuss with you, but I am going to pray that the Lord would open your eyes tonight and understand that every single one of us that are entrusted with children will one day stand before God and answer for the choices that we made in their education. I think that there's real reasons, Bible reasons, why we need to make sure that our kids are educated in a Christian environment and in a Christian format. I have a unique perspective on the ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. I am the only one that can say these things. I was at one time a student here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Later on, I was a supervisor at Blessed Hope Baptist School. I have been the principal at Blessed Hope Baptist School. I'm now the administrator at Blessed Hope Baptist School. The only thing that Dad has on me is that he's the founder of Blessed Hope Baptist School. And that's the only way that he trumps me. But I did everything but start the thing, all right? I may have almost closed it down a couple of times, but I did everything but start the thing. And because of that, I have very much a love for this ministry. When you love something as dearly as I love our school, and then you just have to understand, and I'll say this out loud, and I'm not going to be defensive tonight. I wrote a note to myself at the top of the paper, do not be defensive tonight. But it does. It just bewilders me when it seems like that there ought to be within our church a spirit of support of this ministry. And instead, I hear people that want to murmur and complain and even sometimes, you know, shed negativity towards this ministry. Can I say this? You know what? You really need to examine your heart on that. Most of you that are experts about what goes on at Blessed Hope Baptist School are never at Blessed Hope Baptist School. You just are gossipers and talebearers, and you listen to junk, and you on the internet and Facebook too much. And it's disturbing to me when I go over there every day and see miracles and God do miraculous things, and then I see people that seem like they are on a campaign to do nothing but try to smear a good ministry. Folks, listen to me. Don't be involved in that. And that's the only thing I can say. I can't live your life for you. But I think one of these days when you stand before God and realize that you were caught up in a bunch of nonsense, and I think sometimes you just innocently get caught up in it, but when you get caught up in a critical spirit towards a ministry that God has used through the years, let me tell you something. I wouldn't be in the ministry today if it wasn't for Blessed Hope Baptist School. God did a miracle of grace in my life there. And there is no perfect place. And the decision you've made about education isn't perfect either. And so let's get behind the ministry here. Let's pray for it. I'm going to ask you especially to pray for Brother Young as he's taking on new responsibilities. Parents, I want you to vacate the seat of judgment. Young people, I mean this with all of my heart. Parents, you back me on this. I don't want any criticism. I don't want any of this, well, this or that. You know, if your child, no matter who's in charge, has to find a reason to always be nitpicking authority, could you figure out at some point in your life that it's not authority that's the problem, it may be your child's attitude towards authority? And so I need you to just absolutely refuse to tolerate that. You know, let's get behind this good man. He's ready, he's prepared, he's trained, and he's just like me. He's not perfect, but I sense the sincerity, and I know he'll come and do the very best job he can. And I would encourage you to have your children focus on them coming and doing the very best job they can do, instead of thinking that their position in the school is to critique the new teacher and report what they like or don't like about him. You could fix some things, if you would, right there with your kids. I'm sold on the idea of Christian education. I'm just absolutely sold on it. I'm going to give you some Bible reasons and some things to consider. Education plus God equals seven. Sadly, our public school system has now this equation, education minus God. They made that decision many years ago. Again, our Supreme Court, once again, got it wrong. They said we could not have prayer and Bible in the early 60s in our public school system. Please, if you will, put the public school system under the microscope and review what has happened these many years later. Has it gotten better because they excluded the Bible? Are young people more moral because they excluded the Bible? Is their character better because we've excluded the Bible? Is America better because now we are working on our second and third generation that have been educated in a godless manner? And I think if you've got common sense, you'll look at it and say, we got that wrong. Then, of course, in the 1970s, our Supreme Court very brilliantly decided to legalize the murder of unborn babies. And now, of course, the legalization of the sodomite marriages. And the Bible hasn't changed its opinion on any of these things. My dad used to say this: we didn't leave public education left us. And that's very much true. They just honestly put Christian families in a situation where we had to make some decisions. And you have to decide as a parent, am I willing to take my child and turn them over for 35 or 40 hours a week into an institution to educate them where the Bible has been banned, where they say that they cannot pray, where, listen, folks, there is a religion being taught. It's the religion of humanism. And now, of course, under the disguise of tolerance training, they're being brainwashed from kindergarten up to accept the sodomite lifestyle. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. You can't put your child in that for 40 hours and bring him here for 4 hours and think that we're going to be able to fix all the damage that's being done in the hearts and minds of your children. And so Christian education, it ought to be a conviction with Bible-believing Christians. Let me give you seven things to consider as you make these decisions. Number one, what's the advantage of Christian education? Number one, born-again, Spirit-filled instructors. Born-again, Spirit-filled instructors. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:2 that we're to learn not the way of the heathen. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, how in the world can we follow Psalms chapter 1 and yet take our kids and put them in a situation where they cannot delight in the law of the Lord? And many times they find themselves under the instruction and tutelage and under the authority of people that don't even believe in God or are agnostic in their belief in God. Now, folks, listen to me. You've got a choice. Well, I know some Christians that aren't teaching the public school system. Well, so do I. And by the way, thank God for them. But you can't hide behind a few. And by the way, are they independent fundamental Baptist Christians? Are they separatists? How many of them do you know? I said, how many of them? I didn't say, you know, anybody can profess anything with their mouth. How many of them do you know? For every one person that you claim is a Christian in the public school system, I can take you and show you 10 that don't even attend church. In fact, I had a public school teacher say this to me one time. He said, you know what? They won't forbid it, but they discourage us as far as church membership simply because it causes conflict, because the people that come to your church will begin to seek you out for special privileges, or it causes problems in the church as far as if you have to discipline someone's kid. It's what he said. Many teachers have chosen just not to go to church because it's not worth the politics. Well, I'm not going to say to my child, you walk in there and you sit underneath. By the way, you respect this person. This is the authority. You learn what they have to teach you, and they won't even get up on a Sunday morning, walk in God's house. You've got to make that decision. But I want my children to be under the tutelage of born again, spirit-filled, independent, fundamental Baptist instructors. And so the Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. Let me explain something about education that you may or may not understand. Go, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 11, because folks, again, I'm speaking tonight for the large part out of experience. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 27. Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Jesus said this. Very important that you understand the relationship between a teacher and a student. And what happens and has to happen if a teacher is going to get a student to learn. Okay, watch what happens here. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And look at this next phrase and think of it in the light of education. Take my what? Yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, I can teach you something. You can learn of me. But if you're going to learn of me, you have to be willing to enter into a yoke with me. Now listen to me. All right, if you're independent, fundamental, Baptist, separatist, you better listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. And by the way, Brother Young knows this, but a teacher is a very much a sacred trust. To be a teacher is a sacred trust. When I go to the young people and they are working at their desk in our ACE school, and they are, what's the Bible say here? They are laboring and are heavy laden, yes, as they're trying to figure out these problems. And they get stuck. And you know what? They need help in learning. So as a teacher, what I do is I go over to them as they're struggling. And I said, I'm going to help you. Now, you have to understand how students are, and you have to understand how human nature. For instance, there's always the kid that has the social studies space in front of them. And they put the flag up and they said, I can't find the answer to this question here. And I said, where was the answer to the last one? And they said, right there. And I said, okay, have you read the portion after that? And they'll always assure me that they have. Now, what they've done truly is just scanned, looking for this answer, scanned, they can't find it. Now I'm going to play the game and see if I can get Pastor Jerry to tell me what the answer is. And I'll say, well, if the last answer was there, and all of the answers are in chronological order, I would assume if you begin to read there on down, you will find the answer, because I'm standing here staring at it right now. So why don't you stop scanning and why don't you start reading? Now, sometimes they're just lazy. That's why they ask a question. They just want you to give them an answer. But honestly, most of the time, a young person really is struggling with a problem and they're trying to figure something out and they are stuck. The burden of this problem has become too heavy for them, and they've got the point where they've maxed out and they can't move it. So a teacher comes over and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So I get in the yoke with them. Watch this. They're going to stay in the yoke. Okay, because my job isn't to take their burden. My job is to get in the yoke with them and get the wagon moving again. And when they get it moving again, I step out of the yoke. And then they go on for a while and then they'll hit a spot and I come in. Now, watch this, folks. I'm telling you, it is impossible to teach without a student and a teacher entering into a yoke together, which should remind us of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And folks, what we're doing is we are disobeying an important Bible principle. I don't think any believer ought to ever enter into a yoke with an unbeliever based on the scriptures here. No exception in any arena of life. If you do, you're disobeying the scriptures and you're setting yourself up for a disaster. Now listen to me. You're going to take your child and you're going to walk in and you're going to say to an unsaved, a non-church attending adult, I need you to yoke with my child. By the way, that teacher will spend more time with your child in any given school week than you will, than I will, than their Sunday school teacher will, than anybody will. And you are going to yoke them together with an unbeliever. Now, let me say it again. You cannot teach somebody without the use of a yoke. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you put your child in a situation where they have to be taught by an unbeliever, the only way they can learn is yoke with that authority figure. And so I'm choosing, and I chose for my children, to make sure that they were taught by born-again, spirit-filled instructors. Number two, Christian companions. Christian companions. He that walketh with wise men, Proverbs 13:20, shall be wise. Watch this. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I've often said this, you'll know what I'm going to say, but in Romans 10:13, we base our eternal security on two words, shall be. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, we'll put our eternal security based on those two words. And yet we find them twice in this portion of scripture. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Folks, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. The shall be in Romans 10:13 is not any more powerful or true than the shall be in Proverbs 13:20. And so when you send your children to a Christian school, then they have an opportunity to be with Christians. If you go through our handbook, we don't accept young people that are not born again believers. That's one of the requirements for them. If you'll look into our handbook and you'll read it, one of the things I probably should have brought out here, but you know what, folks? Our Christian school is not for novice Christian kids. It's not for carnal Christian kids. It's not for worldly Christian kids. We've constructed our program in such a way that a young person starts in our Sunday school department and church. They move up the discipleship ladder into our youth group and master's clubs discipleship. And the top of the pyramid is our Christian school. You know what? It's for families and children who are serious about their walk for God, serious in turning out their children for the Lord Jesus Christ, serious in the matter of living a Christian life, a separatist life. And if you're not, listen, that's fine. As far as, you know, I'll still love you. But if you're not on board with us there, then if you put your kids into Christian school, we're just going to have problems all the time, okay? Because if you try to send them to a school where they hear this standard of Christianity and they come back home where that's this standard of Christianity, you're causing confusion in the life of that child. But I would want my young people in there because of the fact of the Christian companionship. I didn't say that the young people were perfect to go to our Christian school. You know what? Anywhere you have a gathering of human beings, you know what you have? You have human beings. That's what you have. But I will tell you this. The idea that people say, well, you know what? You might as well just put them into public school because this thing happened at the Christian school. That was said at the Christian school. They might as well be in a public school. You know what? Excuse me, but you haven't been to a public school lately. I drove a public school bus for years while I was pastoring Central Baptist Church of Brazil, Indiana. I will tell you this. Young people here more on a bus going to school. I mean, one bus ride going to school, they'll hear more things and see more things than they'll experience in an entire year here. I didn't say things sometimes happen that shouldn't happen, but you know what? We deal with them. Okay, and by the way, it might be a good opportunity for you to teach your children that guess what? You know what? Not everybody's perfect and not every situation is perfect, but aren't we blessed to still be in a situation where that is the biggest thing that we'll face this year. I mean, you take the biggest thing that we faced last year in our Christian school as far as discipline-wise, and you walk over and sit down with the principal of any public school and say, this is the worst thing we had to deal with. How'd it go here? You'll hear for 2 hours some of the stories that you can't believe what's going on in the public school system. Don't let a couple things happen in a Christian school and you throw away the conviction of Christian education because, well, you might as well send them to public school. What a foolish, foolish statement. You know what? They come and they gather with Christian young people. Christian young people that are growing, Christian young people that aren't perfect, Christian young people that are on a journey, but they are at least traveling with Christian young people. And so education plus God equals 7. Number 1, born again, spirit-filled instructors. Number 2, Christian companions. Number 3, scriptural saturation. Scriptural saturation. Now, folks, I believe this. I believe that the Word of God changes lives. Thank you for singing that tonight. I had to say a hearty amen to that. You know what, folks? The idea that you would put your young people into an educational system that has banned the Bible is unthinkable to me. Didn't verse number 2 follow verse number 1 in Psalms chapter 1? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm so thankful that we have curriculum here that includes the scriptures. Our young people start every morning with the Word of God. They start every morning by quoting and memorizing the Bible. They start every morning by doing morning devotions before they crack a book. You know what? Integrated into all of the curriculum are Bible verses that they're memorizing and Bible principles that are being applied. There is the Bible in everything that we do here. Everything that we do here. I don't try to be a private school that's just another public school. We are a Christian school. Beyond that, let me just say this, kind of off subject, but we're not just a Christian school. We are a Baptist school. Blessed Hope Baptist School. That's the name of it. I'll have people sometimes call from other denominations. And they'll say, maybe very well be good people, but they go to a different denomination. They have a different belief system. I'd be interested in meeting with you about our kids coming to your school. My question is always, where do you attend church before I set up anything? Well, we go to such and such church, and it's not an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I'll say to them very kindly, I'll say, listen, I'm not being judgmental at all, but let me just explain to you that this is not just a Christian school. This is a Baptist school, and we teach Baptist doctrine here. It'll be integrated into every day of their life. And if you go to such and such church, and your doctrine is not the same as Baptist doctrine, we're going to confuse your children. And I said, if you want to consider us putting your kids into our school here, then you would need to attend an independent fundamental Baptist church in our area. You say that? Of course I say that. Absolutely. I'm not interested in collecting Presbyterian kids and Assembly of God kids and Christian church kids and all of that. And then we put them all. And by the way, there are Christian schools in this area that are Christian schools, but not Baptist schools. That's if they want to do that, that's up to them. But you know what? We are a Baptist school. Capital B, independent, fundamental Baptist school. We're interested in independent, fundamental Baptist people wanting to place their children into an independent, fundamental Baptist school. That's what our goal is. Now, when they get here, they're going to get scriptural saturation. They're going to be in constant contact with the Bible throughout the day, all day long, from the time they come to the time they leave, multiple times during the day, they're going to have interaction with the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, why don't you head over there with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6. You say, preacher, is that important? Well, let's let the Bible decide how important it is. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And if you'll look at verse number 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now it sounds like to me that the Word of God is supposed to be integrated from the time a young person gets up to the time they go to bed. Now folks, please listen to what I'm going to say. You can say you're being overly harsh. Listen, you're not talking to somebody that never attended a public school. Thank God there's young people in here and adults in here that can say, I've never spent one day in a public school. You're blessed. You're blessed. You know what? I went the first 11 years, if you count kindergarten, to a public school system. I can promise you this. It's not just a matter of the Bible not being taught there. Just the opposite is happening. Bible precepts and Bible principles are mocked on a regular basis in the public school system. I sat right over here at Shacamack and had an instructor that taught biology class that mocked the idea of God creating the heavens and the earth. Now, this is back in 19, this would have been back in 1976 or something like that. If it's happening that boldly then, I can promise you it's happening even more boldly here today. And what's going to happen a lot of times is your kids are not going to come home and tell you about it. Well, that's not happening with my kids. Why don't you sit down and have an honest talk with them about it? Of course it's happening. I said, of course it's happening. You see, you can't integrate. See, folks, just as we've integrated the Bible in all of the curriculum, they have integrated humanism into every single piece of curriculum that's being presented to the students. Humanism is their religion. Say, what is humanism? Well, that's a whole sermon. I've preached a couple messages on it around here, but basically it's the idea that instead of recognizing God as the supreme being and the most powerful being, they basically have placed man in that position. And everything trickles down from the idea that there is a refusal to accept the idea that God is the creator and that man will someday answer to God for anything and we are our own gods. And from that flows a false religion. And they are taught that from the time they go to kindergarten to public school all the way through to the day that they graduate. Humanism is integrated into the young people. Let me just say this to you, and don't get mad at me, all right? Or go ahead, get mad at me. I don't care. Some of you that have public school background like I do, you still struggle with humanistic philosophy. You've been brainwashed more than you know. Okay? There's things that I say up here that are so plainly Bible-based, and it just works on you. You know why? Because you've been brainwashed. You really don't want to vacate the throne of your heart. I mean, you were educated and told for all these years that you were your own God. And then you come to a Bible-preaching church that says, oh, no, you're not, and that just kind of irks you. Well, God doesn't have a right to tell me how to dress. Yes, he does. Oh, God doesn't have the right to tell me where I can and can't go. Yes, he does. God's got a right to say and do anything. I think that's why we call him God. All right, you staying with me here? Did I lose anybody? All right. What I'm saying is, here's the difference. You have gone through a public school training, and now you struggle the rest of your life trying to free yourself of the humanistic brainwashing process. Watch this. We have a group of young people that were raised in a Bible-based curriculum and therefore have a biblical world point. And you know what? The easiest people in this church to preach to are young people that grew up in Christian education. I mean, they're just the easiest ones to preach to. Now, the exception would be, by the way, thank God for some of our senior saints that still caught the tail end of a public school education that involved the Lord. I've got people in this room that's told me when I went to a public school, the teacher opened the Bible and read to us from the Bible first thing every morning. Now we're not even allowed to pledge allegiance to the flag. Are you thinking about this? And so some of you were in public education back when Christianity was still integrated in it. But by the way, there was also humanism integrated into it. Sure there was. I mean, this started back in the 30s. I don't think anybody's that old that you went to the public schools before. Maybe Mrs. Vestal, I'll talk to her on Tuesday and see. And what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. As Satan has worked to systematically eliminate the Bible out of the thought process and the training of our children, we had to step up and said, that's not going to happen. Sorry. You know what? We give. We aren't given there. These are our children. When they go to school, the most important textbook at Blessed Hope Baptist School is this book right here. If your kids make A in algebra and F in Bible, then they've failed life. I don't care how much money they make in their life. All right? We've got a bunch of young people that have been educated with a lot of worldly wisdom, and yet the wisdom of God, they have no understanding of it. And so the word of God must be the deciding factor in this scriptural saturation. Our young people be saturated with the Bible. I mentioned that 2 years ago, our young people memorized the entire book of Philippians. Last year, the entire book of James. This year, pray for them. They're doing the entire book of Deuteronomy. I'm excited about that. I cannot wait to get them started. I told you I'd make a decision on that. And I was going to have them do the whole Pentateuch, but I thought, no, that's asking too much. Just going to do Deuteronomy. And I think they're praying for Jude is what they're praying for, but we'll see how that goes. Number four, watch this. Structure and discipline. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, let all things be done decently and in order. Let me just help everybody in all areas of your life. God never intended you to live in any type of environment of confusion. If there's constant confusion in the home, then God is not the author of that confusion. I hate a work environment that is constant confusion. Drives me crazy. If you've got a boss that, you know what, assigns job to everybody and makes sure everybody does their job and runs a tight ship, actually, whether people might gripe and complain. The honest truth is the happiest people in the world are people who are working in an environment where everybody's working together, knows their jobs, and successfully putting out a product. God's not the author of confusion. I think you ought to try to eliminate all areas of confusion in your life, because God is a God of structure. God is a God of discipline. If you don't believe that, study the creation of our God. I mean, God has run everything on a precise clock. God, the universe is not just thrown together, helter-skelter. Everything runs in order. Everything is in order, structure and discipline. That is not the case in our public education system. And again, sometimes some of that blame goes to teachers. But the teachers nowadays are basically being trained on how to educate children in the midst of chaos. I'm not exaggerating anything here. I, not that long ago, had to go to one of our local schools here, and had to meet with a man. And as I got permission to come into the building, and as I made my way to his office, there were classrooms that were being in session. I stopped at every classroom door. They had windows, and I stood and watched for 10 or 15 seconds, Let me just say this, folks. Almost without exception, every class, as I looked in there, it was chaos. I didn't walk by one classroom where a teacher was up teaching, all the kids were sitting there and everybody was listening. A lot of the classes, kids were up running around. A lot of the classes, kids are talking, just out there carrying on conversations as if the teacher's not even teaching. By the way, that'll never happen, bless Hope Baptist School. No, it won't. Okay, no, not for very long it won't. We'll talk to your young person. We'll try to help them along. And if they don't get it, then we'll bring you in and we'll all have a meeting about it. But you know what? We're not going to treat people in authority like that. I was talking to a teacher about that. I just brought this up to a public school teacher that's a very good friend of mine. We went to public school together. And he told me he was very honest about it. And he said, "Preacher, the honest truth is, I walk into my high school math classroom. I teach this math in a public school system." And he said, "I do the best I can to educate a handful of kids that are there that want to learn something. And the rest of them, I just about have to just ignore as if they're not there and let them do whatever." Watch this. I feel sorry for the guy, because you know what they've done? They've taken away from our teachers all of the tools of discipline. I mean, those kids have more rights than the teacher has. I mean, anything they do to try to correct anything, you know what? Next thing you know, there's a parent on the phone or down at the principal's office screaming their head off, and how dare my little baby, because you know kids are never wrong. It's always the teachers that are wrong. And you know what? He basically says this in a surrender mode, that I basically walk in every day and hope that two or three or four kids that set up near the front and are kind of listening, I'm trying to influence them, and basically the rest of the class is just chaos. Folks, listen, some of you remember when Becky Tinkle, you remember who she is, she came to our school? When she first came into our school, she was there about 2 weeks, so I kept checking on her. I walked by after a couple weeks, and I said, just kind of stopped at her desk. She didn't have her flag. I said, "Hey, Becky, let me talk to you. You've been here 2 weeks. Are there any questions?" It takes a while for a young person to acclimate in and all that. And is there any questions? Is there any things that you need? Is there any issues, something you don't understand? And she just looked at me and she said, Pastor, the one thing it took me the longest time to get used to is just how quiet it is. She said, I've been able to do more work and concentrate better in the last 2 weeks than I have the previous how many years in a public school system. Now, folks, if you'll go out and even look at the design of our desk, everything is designed in such a way to allow those young people to have maximum concentration. One of the things that I tell our staff is when you're dealing with students, you know, you've got to be careful not using your outside voice. You know, because we are going desk to desk, but even teachers, we try to be very careful not to be a distraction. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. A young person cannot concentrate in the midst of confusion. They can't learn in the midst of confusion. And so discipline and structure is very necessary. That's why we have something called rules. And if you're going to educate young people, you have to have rules. Okay, don't whine about rules. Well, I don't understand this rule. That's probably because you've never taught in a Christian school. If you taught in a Christian school, you'd understand why we have the rule. Young people, don't whine about rules. Rules are there to help you to be able to focus and concentrate and get the best education as possible. There's a reason for every rule, and so just obey them and trust them whether you understand everything or not. And so structure and discipline. Let me say something to our homeschoolers. If you are homeschooling and you don't have structure and discipline, you're robbing your children. And I'm assuming that you do. I find this in homeschool parents. They either do an extremely good job or an extremely poor job. I don't find too many of them in the middle. Don't let your kids get up whenever they want to. Where are they learning structure? You think they're going to be allowed to do that the rest of their lives? Are they on a schedule? Listen, if you're not going to put structure and discipline into it, then you're not doing them a favor. And so, amen. Amen from some homeschool people, all right? They got educated in a homeschool system. If you're going to do it right. And structure and discipline is important. When I hear a young person say you don't want to come to our Christian school because they wouldn't get to sleep in, that kind of bothers me a little bit, all right? Number five, prayer-powered productivity. Prayer-powered productivity. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I love this point. Watch this. The Bible says this, you have not because you ask not. All right, we could add this, you accomplish little because you ask little. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I spoke on prayer in our young adult class this morning. Tony Hinojosa, who I went to Bible college with and now works for Accelerated Christian Education, I went to a seminar that he was teaching, and he told the story of how he was a little disappointed in the grades of the students in his learning center. And so he prayed about it, was trying to seek some guidance on it, and he said, I decided for 30 days I would make one adjustment. And he said, this is what I did. The day that the young person was scheduled to take their test on the PACE, he said, the only change that I made was when I went over to their desk and gave them the test, I said, before you start this, let me have a word of prayer with you. That's the only thing he changed. He said, I'd never done that before. By the way, we're not required to do it. He just was trying to think of something. So he said, for 30 days, I did it. He said, the next 30 days, the entire learning center increased a half grade point average across the board, with the only change I made was just to pray for the students before they took the test. I kind of think the prayer works. Young people, I'm going to try to convince you of something. You know what? We can put you in Christian education, but you can decide not to be educated as a Christian. Okay? And one of the things that you have an opportunity and the freedom to do in a Christian school is pray. It's crazy. If you don't pray any more in that school than you would if you were going to a public school, then what are you doing? All right, think about it. I believe that we start the day with prayer. When the teacher's praying, you ought to be praying. All right, you've got your five core subjects, six or seven maybe, eight with electives maybe. You got an opportunity. You got a goal card. By the way, I love the AC system. I like the fact that they have goals every day. I like the fact that they strive to complete goals. You know what that's called? Life preparation. Guess what? I still come to work every day and have goals. I have to complete them one at a time. I have to pull my full concentration on them. I mark one off, go to the next one. It's called preparation for life. Okay? And by the way, they have to do it in a certain time period. Sounds like life. If they don't do it in a certain time period, there's penalization. That sounds like life. If they do it in shorter than that amount of time, there's reward. That sounds like life. They go to class every day. And by the way, don't you criticize the AC curriculum. Don't you guys? I'll tell you, everybody that thinks they found the one curriculum that is flawless, I promise you there's not a curriculum available. I've studied all of them. That does not have pros and cons. That doesn't have strengths and weaknesses. We've used AC curriculum for so long. I know what the strengths are. I know what the weaknesses are. And you know what? We do things to strengthen the weaknesses. It is a great education that you receive at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Now, think about this. Watch this. Prayer-powered productivity. Young person, you've got your goals there. You're getting ready to start the day. We're going to have you spend some time in the Bible. You're supposed to have a little time of prayer. Now you're reaching up to get your first subject for the first goal. What are you going to do? You put that pace in front of you. What are you supposed to do? What would be the wise, prudent thing to do? Here's what it is. Bow your head and say, Lord, you know what? I'm here to learn today. And Lord, I need your help in completing this pace and doing it in a timely fashion. Lord, I don't want to just get it done. I want to learn something. I'm here to get an education. Help me to learn. And help me to do things right, and help me to do things correctly. And Lord, I pray that you just open my mind, help me to gain wisdom, knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Then you take off on that pace. Then you finish the pace, you do all that you're supposed to do, you complete it, you reach up and you mark that X off your goal card, and you say this, thank you, Lord, for helping me complete that pace. And you put that over in this stack, and you get another one, and you open it up, and you say, dear Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You look down, it says algebra. He leadeth me beside still waters. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of geometry, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And you pray. And guess what? Sometimes it's tough. Now listen, folks. You can figure out life when you're younger. You can still be trying to figure it out when you're 40. But I'm just telling you, if you just grow up learning that every single thing that you start to tackle in life, you ought to probably pray before you do it, you're going to find out things go a lot easier and a lot better. And listen, you know what you're doing by not praying? You're being a practicing atheist. You're making a declaration of your independence of God. I got this, Lord. Don't need your help. I'll just do it. All right? Go ahead and take that philosophy into life. Prayer-powered productivity. I love the fact that our school, from the time it starts to the time it ends, is saturated in prayer. And you know what? They can outlaw prayer in the public school. I'm going to tell you, it's a huge part of what happens every day in our Christian school. Number six, knowledge with wisdom. What's the advantages of a Christian education? Knowledge with wisdom. I don't have time to do it. Go over to 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 1, chapter 2, read those two chapters. Folks, listen to me. People can gain knowledge and never gain wisdom. The world is full of educated fools. Let me say it again. The world is full of educated fools. You say, what's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2? The eternal battle that has always reigned against the wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. Okay, there's things that men say you need to know, and there's things that God says you need to know. You can accumulate a lot of facts, you can gain a lot of knowledge, and never, ever understand wisdom. And so, in our Christian education system, we don't want them to just learn knowledge. We want them to have understanding. This is the process in Proverbs. You gain knowledge, then you seek understanding, and with that understanding comes wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge to everyday lives and to do it within the boundaries of what is holy and right before Almighty God. Say, preacher, they'll get a better education in the public school than they will the Christian school. I don't believe that for one second. But by the way, education, I'm assuming you're talking about them actually learning truth. I mean, I would think that would be something you would want. I hold in my hand a public school science book, a biology book. I was given this several years ago. I keep it in my office every once in a while. I need a chuckle. And biology. And they're talking about, of course, indoctrinating our young people. And by the way, this thing's probably 30 years old, 25, 30 years old. They're indoctrinating our young people with the ideas that we have been evolved, that we are the product of evolution. Page 81, they cover something called vestiges. And vestiges, let me see if I can just read this to explain what a vestige is. Organs may grow larger, like the middle toe of some kind of a being that became a horse's hoof. So at one point, there was just an animal that had a rather large, big middle toe that eventually evolved into a horse's hoof. Other organs may disappear completely, like teeth in an anteater. Still others may shrink in size and become useless. They are on the way to disappearing, but have not yet completely vanished. In other words, there may be some things that pretty soon we don't use anymore, we don't need, so they just kind of eventually evolve out of our system. Such shrinking structures we call vestiges. Our bodies contain vestiges. In other words, evidences of our evolution. That there were some things that we at one time needed or had that we no longer need. Ear muscles are vestigial in most humans. Can you wiggle your ears? Anybody can wiggle their ears? Can your mom wiggle her ears because she's looking embarrassed right now? She can't? You can wiggle your ears? It's because you haven't fully evolved, okay? Because there's really no need to wiggle your ears anymore, okay? So that's kind of slowly gone away. Wisdom teeth, also called third molars, are vestiges. In other words, at one time we needed them when we were more carnivorous, but now they're just kind of hanging around. These often do not appear until the 20s, and they are useless for chewing. Now, let me just say something about that. I've had a lot of my back teeth pulled, and if you don't have any other back teeth, those things can work just fine for chewing, okay? Some people have a Darwin's point. Inside the upper rim of the ear, all that is left of the upward-pointing ear tip that still functions in many mammals. You'll know monkeys kind of have little pointed ears, you know? And so some people still have in their upper ear, the upper rim of their ear. I'm looking at everybody now. The upper rim of their ears, what they call a Darwin's point, and that means that, you know, as your ears kind of rounded because you didn't need that anymore, some people still have little vestiges of that that tell you that, you know, that's proof that we have evolved from other people, from other mammals. Now, that'd been bad enough, but let me read the last sentence in the paragraph. Occasionally, babies are born with visible tails, which the doctors clip off at birth. This is in a high school level science book. Biology. That, by the way, listen, folks, they're not concerned about truth. They are concerned about advancing an agenda. And they will lie to advance it. I've talked to a lot of nurses, and I've talked to a lot of doctors who've delivered a lot of babies. I've never yet found one that delivered a baby and flipped it over to spank it. Where's the tail clippers? Did you check Jubilee okay? No tail? Jubilee's fine? You better call Brother Derek and Rebecca. Just check with them. Make sure that you don't want to not clip that off. You think kids are made fun of on the playground now. They would be awesome on the monkey bars, though, man. You know, here's the thing. I do not mind, even honestly, even with an unbeliever, I don't even mind if they want to advance an intellectual argument. But you know, the problem is they're not trying to use intellect. They're using deceit. They just told our high school level kids that occasionally babies are born with visible tails, which the doctor clips off at birth. Now, folks, listen to me. That is not the only statement in this book. They will say whatever they have to say to try to brainwash our children into believing what they believe. And what is disturbing about that, of course, is that what they're doing is they're advancing an agenda. They want them to have a certain amount of knowledge, and they want them to divorce themselves from wisdom. Now, the great thing about a Bible-based education is that you will get knowledge. Somebody told me this one time. It's not true. They say, well, I wouldn't send my kids to the Christian school because you don't even teach the theory of evolution. That is not true. We've got an entire year course called scientific creationism. It's the problem that they really don't like is that we teach the truth about the theory of evolution. And I don't have time to go into all of that. Good night. I mean, well, there's a whole other thing there. But, you know, folks, watch this. Do a little study. Why in the world? What possessed Darwin to write The Origin of Species? Study a little bit about his life. He had a daughter that passed away. He became bitter against God, angry against God, dedicated his life to try to destroy people's faith in God. I mean, it wasn't like he was just following science and following the facts, you know. And he said this, and I don't have the exact quote, that's why I'm hesitating, but just Google this, what Darwin said about the human eye. And you know what he said in The Origin of Species is basically that the human eye destroys the possibility of the theory of evolution, a study of the human eye. The idea that the human eye could have evolved to what it is today. Darwin himself admitted that it destroys the theory of evolution in his own work that is touted as, you know, the textbook for evolution. And yet, so knowledge or wisdom. We want our young people to have knowledge. We want them to have the truth, and then understanding of the truth, and then the wisdom to apply that understanding of the truth. Let me give you the last one, discovery of a divine purpose. Discovery of a divine purpose. Go, if you will, over to Romans chapter 12. We'll finish with this portion of scripture. Education plus God equals 7. Young people that are coming to a Christian education format, situation, they participate in it. They put their hearts into it. They're willing to be taught. They have a teachable spirit. They don't have a scorner's attitude. You can take a group of young people like that, and their advantages will be that they get to spend their day with born-again, spirit-filled instructors. They get to spend their day with Christian companions. They spend the day with scriptural saturation. They're in an environment that promotes structure and discipline. They learn prayer-powered productivity. They are not just taught knowledge, but with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And number 7, they have then the opportunity to discover a divine purpose for their life. In Romans chapter number 12, very familiar, verse number 1 and 2, young people, let me finish by reminding you of this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you know what Christian education does? At the conclusion of that, by the way, you pray for our seniors. I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited about our seniors, and we've got a good group of seniors right now. And life's starting to get real serious to them. And, everybody looks forward to getting to the finish line. Then all of a sudden, when you can see the finish line, it gets a little scary. And you know what? God has a will for each and every one of their lives. And I'm excited to watch that unfold for each and every one of them. All of them's different. God has something different from each and every one of them, but it's exciting to watch young people come up and discover the will of God for their life and do the will of God for their life. Now, I want you to take that thought where all through their education, they're taught that there's a God in heaven that created them. And by the way, he loves them. He loved them enough to send Jesus down to cross for their sins, and they can be saved. And after they're saved, God gave them a book so that they can learn everything that they need to know as far as wisdom and understanding and knowledge and the Bible principles and precepts of life. And then along with that, there becomes the power of prayer and learning to get a hold of God on a daily basis and developing a teachable spirit and a thankful spirit. And then this idea that all of this is for a purpose, because God is preparing you for something that he's going to have you do in your life. By the way, there's a person out there that God has planned for you to marry. And there's a will that God wants you to accomplish. And you know what? Everything that we're doing is preparing you for what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. Now watch this. How does that compare? How does that compare to a young person who's put in a humanistic, godless teaching curriculum and basically are told this: the only reason you're here is that you're just part of a continuing series of malfunctions and deformities that eventually produced who you are. Okay, you're just the latest in a continuing string of evolutionary creatures. And you know what? One second after you die, you're going to go back to the dust of the earth, and there's no eternity, and there's no God, and there's nothing. Let me give you a statistic, and I'll wrap this up. Watch this. I just studied this because of the message that I preached over at Brother Clanning's. I didn't intend to use it in this message. I was preaching on the importance of hope and maintaining hope in life. I went back and did a quick search, not a thorough search, but a quick search on this subject of suicide. Folks, think about this. 2010 is the last time, the last statistic that I could find quickly. I'm sure that there's probably, but I found 2010's statistics. I'm going to try to do this best I can by memory. But over, watch this, over 32,000 Americans in 2010 ended their own life. Over 32,000 in 2010. Watch this. That's more than died in car accidents. Would you have believed that? I was shocked by that. I thought, that's got to be wrong. I researched it further. That's more than was killed in car accidents. 32,000. It was the 12th leading cause of death in 2010. Watch this. 7th leading cause amongst adult males. 16th leading cause amongst female adults, which, gentlemen, is further proof that women are smarter than us. Amen. Let me tell you the most disturbing statistic. Watch this. 3rd leading cause of death between young people 15 and 24. That's heartbreaking to me. Now, the only way that the devil can get you to that place in your life is to convince you that there is no hope. First, he's got to convince you that there's no God. Because, folks, watch this. As long as there's God, there's hope. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how bad it seems. Preacher, I'm looking at a hopeless situation. No, you're not. I don't believe in a hopeless situation. I don't believe in a hopeless situation. I've had couples come by, and by the way, good night. Bless their hearts. If you're struggling with some in your marriage, trust me, you're not the first one. You won't be the last one. And people have faced the same thing you have, and they've made it, and so can you. But sometimes they'll become convinced that they're in a hopeless situation, a hopeless marriage. First thing I've got to do, Brother Joe, is to convince them, as long as there's God, there's hope. Let's take this hopeless situation. A doctor comes and looks you in the eye and said, your situation's hopeless. I love it when God makes liars out of doctors. He's done it on a regular basis. He's real good at it. But you know what? No matter what the doctor says, the prognosis is, he can't take our hope. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? We could die, trade in this mortal body for one that'll never get sick. I mean, there's always hope when there's God. Okay, now watch this. We look at this rampage, epidemic of suicide amongst our young people. Come on. I want to walk into a biology room and point my finger into the nose of a so-called educator and say, you helped contribute to that. You told them they didn't have an eternal soul. You told them that they were nothing more than an animal. You gave them, you took away, watch this, you took away their divine purpose. You take away a person's divine purpose, then you know what? You introduce them to the concept of hopelessness. And what I'm saying this is, you know what, folks? Don't put your young people underneath the educational system of the godless. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't, well, I'm the parent. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I bow to your authority. You get to make the choice. But you'll also bow one day to the supreme authority. And you know what? There's no rewind button on it later. Put your kids in Christian education. Get them in a good Christian school. And by the way, if you attend this church, I think that would be this one right out here. All right. Seems like that makes sense. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, please, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to reexamine the decisions that we make in life. It's amazing how few people can make a handful of comments on some Facebook page and completely change the thinking of people that claim to be Bible-believing Christians. Why are we so shallow? Why are we so easily blown around with every wind of doctrine? How in the world can we open the Bible and study the precepts? How can we listen to a message like we've heard tonight and in any way justify the idea of turning our children, I mean, the most sacred thing that you'll ever entrust us with, over into the hands of godless people to give them a godless education in a godless environment? Help us, Lord, to just give your Holy Spirit a chance and to really contemplate this from a scriptural standpoint. And, Lord, away with the cliches and away with the criticism. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us to evaluate it scripturally and make good decisions for the future. Lord, we do pray in a very special way for this coming school year. I pray for Brother Young, dear God. I'm very thankful for him, Lord. And, Lord, our prayers will follow him, his good wife, into this new endeavor. We pray especially for our seniors. And, Lord, thank you so much for their lives. What a joy it has been in watching you mold and make them all through these years into who they have become. Lord, protect them in a special way. Protect their hearts, dear God. Help them, Lord, to finish strong to the finish line and go full force out into the will of God for their lives. Not miss a step, not miss a step. Be with all of our other students, Lord, as we continue the process here that's been going on, good night, 38 years here at Blessed Hope Baptist School. 38 years we've been doing this, Lord. I pray that you'd help us. May this be the greatest school year we've ever had, Lord. May we honor you in all that we do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.